It's bloody tough to be in business.
But from what we've seen, when the going gets tough, Canterbury businesses get going. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Vaughan. Welcome to Business Canterbury's podcast, Bold Company, where we sit down with the people who are making things happen across the Canterbury business community.
Stories of innovation, determination, success, and lessons learned.
Listen in as we share stories and celebrate the role of business in our region.
Big thanks to our season sponsor, Christchurch Airport, growing the engine room for Canterbury business. And the lovely people at Ruffles, one of Christchurch's leading creative studios, who are helping us make this happen by recording and post-producing the series and bringing the good vibes.
Let's go.
We are so excited to welcome on the Bold Company podcast, Brianne West. Brianne is the founder and CEO of Incredibles and the founder of Ateek. Welcome, Brianne.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are very excited to have a chat to you today. Hannah in particular, I have to
well,
say.
That's hurtful.
Yes. Hannah in particular has really followed your journey. And I have to say, my wife has as well. So big kudos to you for what you've done. It's incredible.
Amazing.
Tell us about your journey.
How long have you got? Okay. So starting from the very beginning, I started my very first company I think the first day I moved up to Christchurch for university, and I started a cake decorating company. And I was like, yes, because this means I won't have to get a job and I'll be able to do all my studies and it's going to be so fascinating and amazing. And then I realized I couldn't decorate cakes. But I only realized that after I got my first order. So I think that company lasted a day, and then I thought, okay, I'll focus on something a little bit that plays more to my strengths. I'm studying chemistry and biology. I will do something related. I will do cosmetic chemistry. So I started figuring out how to teach myself cosmetic chemistry. I spoke to my lecturers, probably annoyed them a lot. I did a lot of research, did a lot of writing and formulating and testing on friends and family, obviously, never animals. And I released my first products as a completely different company. It was a bog standard cosmetics company. It's called Pure, I think, which is just so original. And it went really well. It was really fun. It was really creative. Really enjoyed it. Sales were weirdly easy to get at that point. I just talked to people online. I built the world's most horrific website. But I also ignored the IRD. I didn't think about finances or cost. And it turns out it was costing me more than I was bringing in. So it didn't work overly well as businesses go, but it taught me a lot. And I actually did sell it. And I think she closed it down a few years later after running it very successfully. Probably a year into that journey, I started a third company, which was a confectionery company called Tub, which was spoonable fudge. So I was at university running Pure and running Tub, and I thought, this is fun. I'm permanently bored. So starting another company is the answer. And spoonable fudge was this idea because, I don't know if you've ever been trying to find a dessert in a supermarket, but they either taste like plastic or actually at that point, to be fair, most of them didn't exist. You didn't have the brands that you do now. And I thought, well, if we create a ready-to-eat delicious dessert that doesn't require refrigeration and is easy to transport, then it's a winner. And it was a winner and people loved it, but I couldn't make it at scale. I sort of did the financial thing again. As in, I didn't cost it properly. I entered into a big lease and got into some financial dramas. And at the end, I thought, right, this still sucks. I'm still bored. What is missing? About the same time, I sold both companies and thought, I don't want to run a company just for the sake of running a company, just for the sake of making a product. I want to do something with it. I want to change the world. And I was 24, so I was still naive and stupid back then. I might still be a little bit now. but I figured if we could, I'm going to use a horrible word here, disrupt the cosmetics market a little bit and rid the world of plastic bottles, then that would be a good thing to do. And I already had my cosmetic chemistry knowledge, so I started formulating solid shampoo bars. Yeah. That's just the start.
Well, I'm fascinated. Did you actually manage to get your degree whilst you're doing all this?
That is impressive. I struggled on. I stopped, I don't know, three or four times. I went part-time. I think they were like, can you just do this one paper? It was statistics.
Yeah.
I hate maths with a fire of a thousand suns.
Yeah.
Feel you there.
Yeah, it's not useful for anything.
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
It is a little bit.
Everybody's got one element of maths they're really good at, like statistics to me.
Really?
Just...
Really?
I just look at something and I just know.
Well, I haven't found the maths I'm good at yet.
I was I don't know any elements of maths I'm good at.
Oh, I think you'd be surprised.
When you make it practical, I'm a lot better with finance now, very happy figuring out P&Ls and blah, blah, blah. So maybe that's...
You learn.
When it tells you a story, it's interesting. When it's something like calculus, which is just hideous, I don't see the point.
But those people that are good at calculus,
engineers probably just see it.
It clicks for them, doesn't it? They see it. Okay, so you're at university, you've got your degree, you've got your businesses. What's next?
So I started tinkering away, creating solid shampoo bars in the kitchen. I set a lot of microwaves on fire, a lot of crock pots on fire, because it turns out they're not made to make shampoo. And I started again testing on friends and family, and I got a lot of pushback this time. It was not from family. They have always been wonderfully supportive. But people around me were like, why don't you just go back to making normal stuff, because no one's going to want a bar. And I'm very unreasonable, and I thought, of course they are. This makes all the sense in the world. What makes no sense is making something 90% water and shipping around the world in a plastic bottle. That doesn't make sense. And when I explain that to people, they get it. So eventually we started to get a bit of support, started to get some sales. I think I was using Facebook at that point quite heavily, because Facebook was very different. I wouldn't use it at all now, but it was very different then. And because it was... I built it as a community from day one. So what do you think we should call this bar? What colour should this be? I didn't take most of the advice, but it was good to get people's input because they felt that they were part of it. So then when we came to do our first equity crowdfunding round in 2015 and took 10 days to raise $200,000, it was a lot easier than a lot of companies you see trying to do it now, because we were community from day one. Beyond from that sort of capital raise, I just got my first sort of business partner who put some money in too. We ran out of money maybe 15 minutes after that capital raise, because you never raise enough and you never budget well enough. We redesigned the packaging as you see today, because what we had prior to that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And retailers didn't like it. And that's when we started to expand into retail, started to, like in Harper, just around the corner. And the buzz started to grow. We started to get lots of press. People started to get excited because, again, people understood the point behind the company. And we had to do another capital raise. Again, we did equity crowdfunding in 2017. But about 3 weeks before we were due to launch, because we were going to do a million on PledgeMe, before we were due to launch, I had the Ice House approach and said, will you raise through us? Because we've got loads of angels who want to give you money. And I thought, no, that's scary. I don't want to do that. Because they wanted me to pitch at their big event with, I think there's 1,000 investors there.
Wow.
And they're all, you know, minted and scary and intimidating. And here I was, this 27-ish-year-old idiot who had a cold at the time. But we pitched on stage and we were offered about $4.5 million in the end, which was a little bit more than we needed. We gave them $500,000. We raised $500,000 on PledgeMe and walked away with 352 shareholders. And that's when we took it to the States, to Australia, and so on and so forth.
Amazing.
It's a very long, drawn-out story. And you see all the highlights and the exciting bits, but it was bloody hard.
Yeah. And that's the part I think that's the most interesting, is what is it that kept you going?
I joke about being called unreasonable a lot, but I am, because to me this is just an obvious solution, and I'm irritated about the way we do so many things in the world. And if people saw that, they got it, and it was that drove me forward. Like, this has an obvious positive benefit for people who, you know, from our suppliers who are being paid a fair price for their ingredients, all the way through to the planet at the end of the day. I mean, it was obvious.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what it was.
What were the ways, Brianne, that you talk about, you know, when you talk to people, they got it? It was kind of a light bulb moment for them. What were the ways that, because obviously, you know, you and your team couldn't individually talk to everybody. What were some of the ways that, or tools that you used to help people get
the message out there?
Yeah.
The message was, by and large, it is absolutely ludicrous that we make something 90% water and ship it around, like I said earlier. But we got it out there through social media and PR.
Yeah.
We got insane amounts of press. We were in the Huffington Post, we were in Forbes, we were CNN, I was on BBC Live in front of 99 million people. He told me that before we went live.
No, never.
It's fairly similar to our podcast audience. So,
yes, very similar.
Don't feel too overawed about that at the stage.
it was We just got so much press because we were trying to do, use business to do a good thing. We weren't selling a product because nobody cares if you're selling a product. You've got to sell a reason why people should get behind your brand. And that was that was what helped get the message out. I don't know how you'd market a traditional company.
Yeah.
It'd be so much harder if you didn't have something for people to cheer for.
Yeah.
And then music sort of amplifies itself.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how marketing has changed because we've heard this a bit in recent times around the differences of being able to use Facebook as a platform. What platforms at the moment are the ones that you believe work really well for businesses?
TikTok.
Yeah.
Mm. TikTok is TikTok. At the moment.
Instagram is interesting. If you do it right, you can't beat Instagram because TikTok is like your awareness, right? So it's where people will find you, but it's crap at conversion. Mm. It's trying to get better. It's not doing very well, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And with the American ban looming, appreciating America is only 10% of TikTok users. Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see what that does to the dynamic. And let's be honest, TikTok aren't going to sell, so I would suggest that TikTok will be banned in the States unless something happens because, you know, unfortunately. You know what? I'm not going to get into political discussions. But the Instagram is interesting. It's a bit more of a nurturing platform, so you can build much more of a community there, but it is a little bit hard to be found, and people are sick of making reels, and it is exhausting as a business owner to continually have to produce video content.
Yeah. And time-consuming as well.
It is so time-consuming. Yeah. It is a full-time role just to produce, I don't know, two videos and a static once a week, right? So it's difficult. But those are the two best platforms at the moment. But if you go and have a look at surveys, 57% of, I think it's this way around, 57% of Gen Zs and 53% of millennials first find products on YouTube, which surprised me. That is an American statistic, and obviously, therefore, that's going to be a little bit different. But YouTube should possibly be where companies are concentrating some attention. It's a lot harder. It's a lot more saturated. It's a lot older as a platform. But it's interesting.
It's really interesting.
It's killing Google.
Yeah. Do you think, Brianne, that statistic comes through from, you know, influencers, obviously, because they're so, you know, I know a couple of ones that I follow and watch on YouTube that's the, you know, the product placement being paid to show that kind of loops through to... Yeah, but that's really interesting statistic, isn't it?
What I would want to know with that statistic as a follow-on is where they've bought the product from. So it's very different from first seeing it because trust in influencers is diminishing hand over fist. There are some great ones out there, don't get me wrong, but we don't have the blind faith in them that we used to because now we appreciate it's a business and therefore there is a little bit of bias there. So you may see it on YouTube through your influencers for sure, but where do you buy it from? Where do you then go onto the website, I suspect that you do, and sit on it for a while? Do you wait till you see some more social proof? Do you have to see certain touch points? Is the 8 touch point rule still a thing? I think there's a whole lot of research that needs to be done by marketing specialists and analysts and, you know, clever people who can do statistics to figure out what the marketing funnel, if you like, if it is. Because I don't think it's traditionally it's as it was traditionally anymore. I think it's more of a almost like an infinite circle as opposed to a shoo. You can't see me because this is not being filmed. Or just imagine I'm doing a funnel shape.
Funnel down. Yeah.
Nice. So time's moved on. What are you up to now?
Well, stepped down as CEO almost a year ago today, which was weird. I ran away to the rainforest for a week and played with gigantic spiders, like bigger than my hand.
Sorry, you said I played with them.
I ran away from. I'm violently frightened of spiders.
Well, I was just going to say.
It was in the most amazing place, and you walk through narrow rainforest walkways and there's these golden orb webs just hanging here. And the fear is pretty high, but it's also a good experience to like face those fears or something. I didn't face nothing, but, you know, it was... I was distracted.
I hope you got some calmness in that
getaway.
There was no calmness.
But I did see a snake, which was the best moment of my life. Because I love snakes.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was worth it.
Awesome.
I'm truly terrified of snakes.
They're just so cool, though.
No, they're not. That's one reason to live in New Zealand is there are no snakes.
I was recently in Australia in the last couple of weeks with my husband, and we were going to Sunshine Coast, and we were just terrified of, because, you know, you're on TikTok, you see all the things, you know, you just... open your bed sheets and there's a big snake there. And Harry's like, oh my goodness, what if this happens, Han? I'm like, it's not going to happen. So we saw a few snakes, but at Australia Zoo.
Mm.
But even that, like...
What? Did you see captive ones or wild ones at Australia Zoo?
Captive ones. Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You do see them slithering around.
Yes, yeah. So didn't see a snake, but they, yeah.
They're just, I don't know, there's something about their eyes. I just think they're remarkable.
Wow.
They're cool.
Wow.
If I didn't do this, I would be at David Attenborough looking for anacondas probably.
Wow.
So now I'm starting to sort of tide it over, I started a free education hub called Business But Better, so people could go and get information on how to try and start and scale ethical businesses, which was meant to be a side hustle and has taken up way too much of my life, so I'm going to have to actually start backing away from that. Nobody tell anybody. because I'm launching Incredibles, which is exactly the same theory as Etique, but in the drinks world. Because, awesome. Again, a bottle of Diet Coke is about 98% water.
Yeah.
They are the world's greatest plastic polluters. Why don't we just drop a tab in a glass of water we already have and your problem is solved?
Wow.
I don't understand, again. So yeah. I'm doing that.
That's awesome.
That is so cool.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's called Incredibles.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is exciting. I'm just so fascinated, Brian, by just like, you're obviously such an ideas person and you can't sit still and you've got all these ideas coming through. Can you talk me through a little bit that process that happens for you, like Incredibles? How did that come about?
I'm great at ideas, crap at detail.
Right.
So you tend to be one or the other. There are some wonderful, yes, remarkable people who are both. I hate them.
Unicorns.
Yes. I'm not. I'm crap at detail. So the only reason I'm in any way successful is when I'm surrounded by wonderful people.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was go and talk to some of those wonderful people, say, what, mm-hmm, if we did this? And usually they're like, not sure, because everybody treats my ideas very similarly. They'll say, well, that's interesting. Maybe you should go away and think about it more. Because 9 out of every 10 of my ideas sucks.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. Or it's not that it sucks, it's just that it wouldn't work in the reality in which we exist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'd love the idea of I've never said this to anybody. You put your hand on like a pad on the wall and it has some kind of because your hair is negatively charged, right? So if you put your hand on a positively charged pad and it runs like a current through your hair, instantly dry, straightened hair. In no way is that possible in the realms of physics. But imagine if it was. Because how annoying is doing your hair? Or why don't we inject?
I don't tend to do it.
No. It's right, a ponytail deal done. I barely brush it. Or if we injected everybody with chloroplasts so they could photosynthesize and then we would get rid of world hunger. Of course, you'd have to be green. So there's a few issues are there. But those are the kind of things I think we could, that's my brain just naturally goes to. Those ideas aren't something we are pursuing. But when I come up with an idea, I have a chat to people, I go away and develop it, I tinker with it and think about it for a while.
Yeah.
And if it's something I really do think has legs, then I will go back and talk to those same people. And we sort of go from there. And I do a lot of it in isolation. I do a lot of it on my own. I'm probably too independent in some ways. Mm-hmm. But I find if you go and do a lot of the thinking and the legwork, a lot of good comes out of that. And then you've got more to talk about when you go and talk to people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of research and playing with it. I sat on the idea for Incredibles for about 2 years. Started paying attention to the beverage industry, which is having a massive moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realise quite how difficult it would be in terms of R&D, because Etique was easier because I was doing it all. I've had to work with a lab for this.
Yeah.
And that is, it's just so many more moving people and the moving parts. And they're wonderful people, but it's just irritating having to rely on others. I sucked at group work at university. I would do it and just make other people leave me alone. Again, only child.
At least you went on the other. Only child. Oh, my God. I'm an only child.
Yeah, so we're just better people, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
How many times have you... Oh, that explains it when you say that.
Rare breeds, actually. I think that's why my face just lit up when I heard you're an only child. Because
so sweet.
It's, few and far between these days, so it's
my business partner's an only child too.
Oh, how good.
Oh, I just leave the room. I feel completely left out here. But what I do appreciate is the ideas part. I mean, I consider myself an ideas person.
Vaughn is very much.
Are you good at details too?
Bloody awful at details.
Okay, that makes
you
feel better.
Any of my colleagues who will be listening to this will be laughing their ass off at this exact moment in time, knowing that I'm the worst details person of ever. But, yeah, it's very hard, like you say, to have both those skills. So you just got to be smart enough to surround yourself with the skills that you don't have that help support you. So.
Yeah,
and that's
where
a lot of founders fall down because they feel, and I get this too, and every now and then I'm like, oh, why can't I do that? Why suck as a human being if I can't do everything?
Yeah.
But founders, there's a lot of ego involved. If you can't take your idea and do everything then are you really a founder? And of course you are. It's a funny confidence thing we've put into ourselves, but you should never be the smartest person in the room. You're in the wrong room.
Yeah. The smartest people are the people that realise that, though.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
But it's hard to do sometimes.
It is, because you've got to put your ego to the side.
Yeah.
No business has ever been built by one person. Elon Musk is not the savant everybody thinks he is. He's not actually invented stuff.
Mm.
But he's obviously a very good executor.
Yeah.
And a PR genius in some ways. Along the same lines of Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they did say I wasn't going to be political.
new topic. Brianne, do you have some advice for our listeners who, you know, looking back to when you first started, that they might be in that position when they're just starting out, they've got all these ideas in their brain. What's next?
Do a plan on a page. Now, this is the very first lesson or module I created for Business Fit Better, because you do have all these ideas, and again, a lot of them won't be very good.
Yeah.
But if you write them down in a particular format, so I've created a template called a plan on a page, which is free to go and use.
Yeah.
It jots everything, it gets everything out of your brain and onto a piece of paper. And it shows you pretty rapidly if this is something that is a business or maybe it's a hobby, because there's nothing wrong with having hobbies. Everybody should have a hobby that they don't try and monetize. Or maybe it's not a profitable business and maybe it's a nonprofit cause you want to pursue, right? Or maybe it's just a terrible idea. They exist as well. But if you get it all out of your brain and onto paper, it stops you fretting and worrying away about it. But it also gives you something to show other people. It gives you a bit of a plan. It gives you, because there's also, what do I want to do for this next 12 months towards this idea, and breaks those goals down into steps. Mm. And that's the hard bit for everybody, is how do they get started? Mm. So the very first thing you can often do is go and incorporate a company, because that gives you confidence in the next step. Or think of a business name, which is really hard.
That is a hard
process. My business names are hard to say, and I don't even mean to do that on purpose. No one can say Teak. No one can say Inspiree, which is my investment company. Everyone can say Business for Better, but it's too long. And then Incredibles, people are like, Incredibles. How do you say the word incredible?
It's a tongue twister. I think it's, you know, people overthink it, right?
Totally.
Incredibles.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So if just get something small started, it gets the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. So I understand that you are a real animal lover. Hannah in particular is. I am too.
It's been only child thing.
Yeah. No.
Okay, you're allowed in the group.
No.
They were our friends growing up.
I used to have a jar of caterpillars because I didn't have a brother.
Oh, my goodness me. Wow.
I feel like we're moving into therapy here now. I have a lot of rogue caterpillar stories for you, Brianne. So maybe.
Oh, you've got a lot of rogue animal stories, full stop.
I feel like we should have a chance.
That we are really, we could move into therapy right now, I think is where we're heading.
Excellent, so you're paying for it.
But I believe you have a house full of animals.
I do. Not all of them are inside as much as they might like to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got frogs and a bearded dragon and a tortoise who's inside and outside.
Oh.
Fish, a dog, a geriatric dog who unfortunately looks like he has a thyroid tumour as of Tuesday. So, yay.
Poor Poppet.
Yes. But he's old.
Yeah.
So, two or three horses, technically. Two calves who were rescued off the truck. Two Highland cows who were not rescued but are adorable. What else?
Oh,
I don't know. I'm sure there's others.
Yeah.
Living.
I've got
my
eels
dream.
In the creek that I'm trying to befriend, but they bit my dog the other day. So we're in a standoff at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Brianne, people think business with purpose doesn't work. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a really complicated question. If you look at actual businesses, and I don't mean, this is going to sound horrible, I talk to a lot of mission-driven entrepreneurs all the time, and a lot of the stuff they come to me with is not actually what I would call a business. They are wonderful ideas. They often fall into the nonprofit or the social enterprise bracket. And I don't think social enterprise actually is a business with purpose. Teak is first and foremost a profit-making enterprise, but its product displaces a wasteful product and it operates in a way that is ethical. That should just be business as normal, right? Social enterprises are far more embedded into the idea of purpose, and typically they don't perform financially. They are not investable because they are too far focused on the idea of purpose, and there is nothing wrong with it. But you will probably not scale a company to the scale that Teak did and beyond, and to the scale I want Incredibles to be bigger, without the idea that you need to be a commercially responsible enterprise, right? You need to be selling something that is ongoing and long-term and have an eye to that 10-year window, right? And that's also how you have the most impact and the most scale. So when you see some statistics that say businesses with purposes businesses with purpose don't perform, mm-hmm. it's quite often because they're balling it all together, those businesses that aren't really mm-hmm. businesses. And I'm talking to a few people at the moment, and I don't want to squash their dreams, but I also don't see how some of these are actual businesses, where I'm talking to some others, which are, again, creating a product that has real legs, but they're doing it in a better way. So Deloitte have said that businesses in the latter category that are commercial first, no, that's not fair, that are commercial and purpose on the same level, mm-hmm. they do very well because mm-hmm. they have something that customers can get behind. They're really loyal. They are fanatical about it. And it's easier to market. That's how IT succeeded. When you are looking at the next sort of tier of businesses with purpose, which is purpose and then your financial sustainability, they struggle. And it's as simple as that.
Awesome. Well, we have to wrap things up. But before we go, we've got a quick fire question for you, Brianne. Where's the best coffee in Christchurch?
Okay, so it won't be a quick fire answer because I went to a retreat like 6 weeks ago and I had to give up coffee, which was it,
this wasn't the rainforest, this is
no, this is a different one. Okay. My business partner thought I was stressed and he was like, you know what, here's a voucher.
That's lovely.
For a retreat. It was very kind. It was 4 years ago. I've been putting it off that long. But I went, I dragged my mother with me. I wasn't going to suffer alone. And actually, it was quite good. It taught me a lot of things. Taught me to drink water because I never used to drink any water, but I have gone off coffee. But the quick fire answer to your quick fire question would be the bakery in West Melton. I don't know the name of.
Okay.
But you should all go out there. Actually, you shouldn't. It's already busy enough. There's no bakery in West Melton.
I'll have to look it up.
No, don't.
That wasn't the answer I was expecting.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not very cool. I don't know where the cool places are at all. I don't.
No, it's great though. Anything. But that's what we want. We want the hidden gems that we can go out and look. Yeah. Do you think, Brianne, with the Incredibles, that's going to help with drinking water, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I'm the same. I'm terrible. Like, I need to have either a beautiful drink bottle or something that will encourage me to
it's
drink
funny
water.
How drink bottles help, eh?
I just forget.
Yeah.
So I feel like Incredibles, that might be like a fun way to jazz up my water experience.
Yes. Yeah. I used to use those droppy water things. Water drops, actually. But for some reason,
it's a great name.
Yeah, they pushed the boat out there. But I don't know, for some reason, they always make my throat hurt. So, I stopped. But Incredibles all did the same thing, but just without plastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
And yes. Well,
it's like a bath
bomb.
Despite
the fact I'm sitting here giggling at your conversation, I also need to drink more water. I've got a terrible coffee addiction.
Yeah. Water is apparently quite good for you.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's disappointing.
I've heard that. Where would you go, Hannah? Where's your go-to coffee place?
Oh, you know what? Our regular business Canterbury's on Kilmore Street. So right around the corner, we've got a few really good coffee places. Do love Laneway Espresso. Make incredible coffee. And
Shout out to Laneway Espresso.
Shout out to the guys there. I know. Yeah. If we're ever missing Vaughan in the office, that's where he is going to be. Unknown Chapter, again, amazing coffee and food. So good.
That's a good shout. I think the one for me, when I'm not at work, if it's the weekend, is Bohemian Bakery.
Yes, you were just saying that you used to have an addiction last year didn't you?
Bohemian Bakery, fantastic.
The best food in Christchurch comes from Greater Goods.
I love Greater Goods, and I love their story as well too.
We're very lucky at the moment. We're in this time where cafes, restaurants, bars, like we're in this golden little period where there is just
nothing
some
for a
incredible
while.
Places.
Yes, I know. And now it's like a smorgasbord to choose from, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great time to be living in Christchurch.
It is, especially with Dimitri's falafel also. This, it's hard to judge which is better out of those two.
Awesome. Right.
Yay. Thank you so much for sitting down with us, Brianne, and having an amazing chat. And I feel like, want to chat more with you about a few things.
Come and see the animals.
Come see the animals.
Absolutely.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Really look forward to hearing how the journey with Amazeballs goes.
A lot of people call it Amazeballs. I'm terrified that it's going to be a disaster because everyone's like, oh, you've done it before, it'll be fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Left eye twitch.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brianne. Thank you so much for joining us for Business Canterbury's Bold Company podcast.
If you like what we're putting down, please subscribe so you don't miss out on the next episode.
And send some love our way with a review.
If you know of a cannabis business with a story to share, we want to know about it. Go to boldcompany.co.nz/podcast and drop us a message.
See you next time.